KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 75 degrees in Atlantic. That heat advisory continues until 10 p.m. We look for it to be sunny, hot, and humid today, a high around 98. But it'll feel more like, well, over 100 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. With another hot and humid day in store, a reminder from Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Cannon that several facilities around the county have offered to serve as cooling stations for residents needing to find relief from the prolonged high heat and humidity. The cooling station here in Atlantic is located at the Nishna Valley YMCA, and that is open from 4:30 a.m. until 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 4:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday. The Griswold Public Library will serve as a cooling station as well. It's open from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and then again from 1:30 p.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. And the Anita Health and Wellness Center will be available as a cooling station from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Wednesday. News time is 8:01.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Well, Iowans who don't enjoy the extreme heat that's in the forecast this week may find some relief in a prediction from the Farmer's Almanac. The publication's managing editor, Sandy Duncan, said they're predicting a winter with below normal temperatures for about two-thirds of the country.
We are saying it's going to be a very cold, in fact, we're using the word piercing cold in your neck of the woods, winter with normal snowfall. So it's going to be one of those rough, old-fashioned, very chilly, very cold, snowy winters.
The Farmer's Almanac for 2014 hit the newsstands on Monday. Scientists don't put much stock in the almanac's weather forecasts, which Duncan says are based on a secret mathematical and astronomical formula.
It takes things like sunspot activity, tidal action of the moon, the position of the planets, and a variety of other factors into play. And we've been predicting the weather for 197 years, and people that follow our forecast, they were about 80 to 85% accurate.
The Farmer's Almanac, which was founded in 1818, is predicting a heavy winter storm will hit the northeastern U.S. right around the time the Super Bowl is played on February 2nd in New Jersey. The condition of the corn crop in Iowa and nationally has declined slightly as a late summer dry hot spell settles in over Iowa and other Midwestern states, renewing fears of a crop-damaging drought. The Iowa Department of Agriculture said in Monday's weekly report that corn is about 2 weeks behind schedule in Iowa, as 21% is now rated poor or very poor, and that's up from 18% the previous week. And 44% is in good or excellent condition. That's down from 48% previously. The remaining portion is fair. Nationally, a larger portion of the crop similarly slipped into poor or very poor categories. Iowa soybeans are now 20% poor or very poor. That's up from 18% the week before. A similar decline is reported nationally. The heat is on across Iowa, and while days where the temperatures top the 90-degree mark won't help some crops, it's not a bad thing for all corn and soybeans. Iowa State University agronomist Paul Castle of Spencer calls the heat wave a double-edged sword.
The good side is we have a fair number of farmers that have some acres of corn that were planted in June, and this will help that develop. They took a big risk in doing that of having a lot of really wet corn grain at harvest, and this will help that. It may not solve the problem totally, but it'll help. So that's kind of the benefit there.
Castle says there were also many farmers who couldn't get their soybeans into the ground right away due to the wet spring.
There was just a lot of acres. Clay County, Palo Alto, Kossuth, Buena Vista, Pocahontas, and then Hancock and Winnebago and so forth that planted a lot of soybeans in June. So basically a month behind, and
He says if the heat spurs the growth of those beans, it can help to offset some of the impact of the late planting.
We already know we have a yield loss because of that planting date. A lot of those areas have had some recent rain. But then this hot weather, that should really help that late planted soybean crop mature and be a lot more productive. So that's what we're hoping for there.
In eastern Iowa, Dean Rebal fears the parched soil and current heat are cutting corn and soybean yields on his 1,000 acres near Solon. Rebal is also finishing the sweet corn season, selling some 10,000 dozen ears from his farmyard. He's predicting the late summer heat will be disappointing to those hoping to buy sweet corn after the Labor Day holiday. Iowa has recognized more than 430 generational farms in the state this year. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey says 365 century farms and 67 heritage farms were recently recognized at the Iowa State Fair. The Century and Heritage Farm Program celebrates families that have owned at least 40 acres for 100 and 150 years. Among the farms recognized during the fair was the Duane and Lois Wepler Farm near Lewis here in Cass County, which was established in 1902. Also in Pottawatomie County, Jack Drake, who farms near Walnut, that was established in 1909. You can find a list of other area counties and residents whose farms have been around for at least 100 or 150 years under the same story on our website. Northey says the program's recipients are a testament to the values of land stewardship, hard work, patience, dedication, and perseverance. More than 17,850 farms across Iowa have been recognized as Century Farms since 1976, and 650 farms have been recognized as Heritage Farms since 2006. The Danish Immigrant Museum broke ground for its $3 million curatorial expansion Monday afternoon, followed by a coffee and Kringle reception for the community. The extra 8,000 square feet will provide compact artifact storage, office space, and exhibit preparation areas. Scheduled to be completed by the Danish Village's Tivoli Fest on Memorial Day weekend, the addition will be located mostly underground and will have an environmentally friendly green roof. The Page County Sheriff's Office say they're investigating the theft of tools valued at $4,720 from a building in Blanchard. The incident happened on or about August 18th. A list of tools were provided to the sheriff's office by Joseph Nelson, owner of those tools. Anyone with information about the burglary and theft is asked to contact the Page County Sheriff's Office at 712-246-5193. Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer reports also the arrest of a man who turned himself in Monday on a warrant for unauthorized use of a credit card. 22-year-old Keith James Land of Clarinda was unable to post a $2,000 bond and was being held in the Page County Jail. Authorities in Mills County report the arrest Monday morning of 48-year-old Carl Race of Clarinda. Race was taken into custody on Bungie Road around 1:25 a.m. for allegedly violating a protective order and interference with official acts. He was being held without bond in the Mills County Jail. And a Glenwood resident was transported to a hospital in Council Bluffs following a single vehicle accident that occurred Saturday morning. Carrie Newman was driving his Chrysler northbound on 221st Street at around 10:35 a.m. when Newman swerved to the right to avoid another vehicle which had crossed into the northbound lane. Newman's vehicle went off the road to the right and hit a curb sign and power pole before rolling over four times and coming to rest on its wheels in the east ditch. Newman was transported to Jenny Edmondson Hospital for treatment of undisclosed injuries. The Iowa State Patrol said Monday that a Wisconsin man was injured during a collision Friday night on Interstate 80 in Adair County. 77-year-old Irwin Schuler of Nilesville, Wisconsin, who was wearing his seatbelt, was transported by Stewart Rescue to Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. 53-year-old Stephen Oshinsky of Boca Raton, Florida, was traveling west on I-80 near the 87.5-mile marker when his 2008 GMC van came upon a 1985 Dodge van driven by Schuler. The GMC struck the Dodge in the rear, causing that vehicle to go out of control. Schuler's van entered the median and rolled over, crossing both eastbound lanes of traffic and came to rest upright in the south ditch. Oshinsky's van came to rest on the north shoulder of I-80. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a UN team in Syria won't be heading out today to one of the sites of an alleged chemical attack on civilians because of concerns for its safety. The investigators plan to continue their inspection tomorrow. Yesterday, they traveled to a Damascus suburb to look at one of the alleged attack sites. They were able to collect samples and testimony from people, even though their convoy was earlier attacked by snipers. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says U.S. forces are now ready to act on any order by President Obama to strike Syria. The Navy has four destroyers in the eastern Mediterranean Sea within range of targets inside Syria. The U.S. also has warplanes in the region. Speaking to BBC television during a visit to Asia, Hagel also predicted that U.S. intelligence agencies would soon conclude that last week's deadly attack on civilians in a Damascus suburb was a chemical attack by the government. British Prime Minister David Cameron is recalling Parliament for an urgent discussion on a possible military response to the alleged chemical attack in Syria. Cameron says the crisis session will be held Thursday. The U.S. is expected to formally state today whether Syria used chemical weapons, and an announcement of how President Obama will respond could soon follow. Firefighters battling a huge wildfire near Yosemite National Park in California are finally gaining ground. They say they've been able to stop ash from the fire from polluting San Francisco's supply of drinking water, and there are no longer great concerns that the blaze will disrupt power. And forecasters are expecting higher humidity tomorrow, which should help dampen the flames. The fire has so far burned 252 square miles. News time is 8:10.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. For major repairs, including new house construction to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Donald Lee Johnston, age 86, of Harlan, died Thursday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Memorial services for Donald Johnston will be today at 10:30 at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Dr. Harold Thomas Barnes, age 84, of Audubon, died Friday at Mercy Hospital Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Dr. Harold Barnes will be today at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Jack Dwayne Manns, age 88, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Jack Manns will be held Saturday at 10 o'clock at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. And Gary Berg, age 57, of Bridgewater, died Monday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Gary Berg are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.